A man is guilty of creating giant mutant hybrid bighorns. Some wealthy homeowners spent $500 million to build a sand dune that washed away in 3 days. And a dead man's roommates took his body to the bank to withdraw money. These are the weird stories for Thursday on Weird AF News, the only daily weird news podcast recorded inside a closet in Los Angeles. There it is. Here I am. We're winning. A man is in big trouble for creating giant mutant hybrid bighorns. And I can't wait for the animated series. Giant mutant hybrid bighorns. Giant mutant hybrid bighorns. Mutants with the bighorns. Mutants with bighorns. This is like a Jurassic Park. That's what they're calling it. Akin to Jurassic Park, we have here an 80-year-old Montana man, a mad scientist, an evil scientist, like a Frankenstein. This guy's been nailed on federal charges. Wow. This is like going to be the first evil scientist to get convicted. This all comes from his little side gig. Let's call it a side gig. He was creating huge hybrid bighorn sheep by using genetic material harvested from Asiatic wild sheep. You know, just a typical weekend in Montana. Just creating hybrid bighorn sheep from genetic material from Asiatic wild sheep. All makes sense, guys. This guy's name is Arthur Jack Shubarth of Vaughn, Montana. He yesterday pleaded guilty to 2 felony wildlife charges, conspiracy to violate the Lacey Act and violating the Lacey Act. Conspiracy to violate the Lacey Act and violating the Lacey Act. Well, can't you remove the conspiracy to violate the Lacey Act if you actually violate the Lacey Act? That's what I'm wondering. I can never wrap my head around these strange charges that they always tack on. And the language is so highfalutin, am I right? How can a man from Montana understand all of these charges, man? I don't even understand what I'm in here for. What the heck and dang is the Lacey Act in the first place? All I did was make some hybrid big horn sheep in my basement. What's the big deal, man? Me and my friends, we like to hunt them big horn sheep. Come on now. Oh, I should have waited just 1 second where the article defines the Lacey Act. Here we go. It prohibits interstate trade in wildlife that has been taken, possessed, transported, or sold in violation of federal or state law. Now, this guy Shubarth faces maximum penalties of 5 years in prison for doing this, for being a Dr. Frankenstein. Shubarth and at least 5 others used this genetic material from parts from the world's largest wild sheep species, Central Asia's Marco Polo Argali sheep. Oh, there's a sheep called Marco Polo Argali. Marco Polo. Marco. Meh. Polo. Marco. Meh. Polo. Oh, man, I got so much caffeine running through my jaw. Okay, they used cloning and artificial insemination to create these hybrids. These bros. What do you want to call them? Scientist bros got a lot of time on their hands, and I'd imagine this is very expensive as well. It says here these hybrids were created in hopes that they'd fetch a handsome profit being sold to fenced-in hunting preserves in places such as Texas. Oh, so it was all for profit at the end of the day, just like Jurassic Park, remember? And we saw how that turned out. Thank God they caught this guy before he could start creating some woolly mammoths. So apparently they're creating these giant animals so that hunters can go after them. I guess, well, the bigger the animal and the bigger the horns, the bigger the boner you get when you shoot it, apparently. That's in Texas anyways. We have a quote here from someone named Katie Cheesebro. Yo, pass the cheese, bro. I'm on it. I'm Katie Cheese, bro. I can easily pass the cheese, bro. I can also cut the cheese. We all cut the cheese. Let's not deny it. Back to the story. Executive director of the Wyoming Wild Sheep Foundation. Wow, I imagine there's a Wyoming Wild Sheep Foundation. If you told me that there was just one U.S. Wild Sheep Foundation, I'd be like, that seems appropriate. Didn't think there'd be a Wyoming Wild Sheep Foundation. Yes, I'm the executive director of the Montana Tiny Little Tadpole Foundation. Yes, we handle tadpoles. Here's a quote from Katie about the the incident that we have going on here with Dr. Frankenstein and his friends trying to make the bighorn sheep out of little DNAs. She says, well, clearly there's a lot to be concerned about here, given the legalities of importing animal parts into the United States. What we have here is exotic species escaping and competing with or tainting the genetics of native wildlife, and that's an abiding concern for all of us. I'm grateful that exotic species are frowned upon in Wyoming. Wyoming has been really careful about not importing these non-native species. It says here, the evil scientist and his co-conspirators, according to the Department of Justice, were involved in what they're calling an elaborate scheme that seems stranger than fiction. Fiction. This guy owns a 200-plus acre Sun River Enterprises ranch, and they described it as alternative livestock ranch. Ooh, alternative livestock. Perhaps they have a liger. Now, from 2013 to 2021, they created larger hybrid sheep to make a tidy profit from these shooting preserves. What's going to happen to these shooting preserves that were sort of aiding, is that, it's called aiding and abating? Well, they were buying these illegal hybrid animals. Is something going to happen to them? We need to make sure they stop doing that, because then guys like this, this evil scientist will keep making these strange giant creatures, like from the movie Island of Dr. Moreau with Marlon Brando when he was very fat. So evil scientist Shubath sent genetic material from illegally obtained Marco Polo sheep parts to laboratories. The laboratories created cloned embryos, which Shubath implanted into bighorn ewes on his ranch. One of them gave birth to a genetically pure Marco Polo that he named Mountain Montana King. And then the Montana Mountain King's sperm was then used to inseminate various other species of wild sheep ewes, producing the huge mutants. This is out of control, all of the hoops and science that this guy jumped through to do this. The only thing that this story is missing is a classic Scooby-Doo episode ending where Shubath says, "And I would have got away with it too if it wasn't for you meddling kids." Meh. Homeowners spent $500,000 building a sand dune that washed away in only 3 days. This story is out of Massachusetts, my home state. Perhaps I'll trickle in a little bit of that Boston accent that you guys all love and adore and some of you hate. A group of homeowners in a Massachusetts beach town decided this was a great way to protect their homes from intense coastal storms, erosion, and hurricanes. They pulled together $560,000 out of their own pocket, and they brought sand in. They built a 14,000-ton sand dune to protect their wealthy homes, apparently. These are coastal properties. Over the course of 5 weeks, this sand dune was built. The community is called Salisbury Beach. I'm very familiar with Salisbury Beach. I spent a lot of time at Salisbury Beach. It's the closest beach to my home. I wasn't aware that there was so many billionaires in Salisbury Beach. Whenever I went there, I just saw a lot of alcoholic, houseless individuals. What do they call them? The unhoused? Yeah, that was what's going on in Salisbury. But apparently there's a rich community there, and they're pretty stupid. They decided to bring sand to the beach to stop the ocean. Even a child knows how sandcastles work. I don't know how these idiots didn't figure that out. Bring the sand. The sand isn't gone. The ocean just relocated it farther offshore. Just wait. It'll be back. And then you'll see. You'll see. It'll be back, I'm sure. Someday. Now, it says this 14-ton sand barrier lasted only 3 days. It was washed away. And the winner and still champ, Mother Nature. Ding, 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 ding. It says here, but the sacrificial dunes did their job, claimed nonprofit Salisbury Beach Citizens for Change. Without them, the Atlantic Ocean would have eaten up to 10 to 15 homes in the historic enclave, the nonprofit wrote in a comment on Facebook. So they're claiming that it was a success. It doesn't sound like a success, man. If you're going to build a sand dune, you have to have dune grasses to prevent the erosion, something. It's quite common for people to just shove a bunch of Christmas trees in the sand dunes to give them some sort of structure. I'm sure you could have used boulders or Legos, what you did was akin to just piling up a bunch of toilet paper or cotton candy on the beach to protect your homes. They're saying it worked, though. I mean, maybe it was just a one-day hurricane that they were trying to protect themselves against. Good job, though, guys. $500 million. We got a quote here from Tom Saab, president of the Salisbury Beach Citizens for Change. This isn't your typical Citizens for Change organization. You guys are Citizens for Change. I mean, what I mean is protect our wealthy property. The Citizens for Change organizations I'm familiar with try and do good in the world. They're not as self-centered as you are. Anyways, Tom says about the dunes. Well, those dunes that we built this past month, sure, we thought they would last longer, but then they were destroyed just 3 days after we finished it. That was quite a shock, I have to say. Well, Tom, maybe if you had sacrificed a sand crab to the dune gods, your sand barrier wouldn't have been washed away so quickly. Let's find out what their next plan is. These homeowners have another plan. They are going to plant dune grass next time, which, when planted beneath sand dunes, prevents sand from blowing away or washing out with the currents. Ah, good job, guys. Maybe you want to ask a sand engineer or a beach engineer, do those exist, before you invest $560 million to bring in 14 tons of sand, you morons. We have here State Senator Bruce Tah, T-A-I-I. That's a perfect name for a Boston State Senator. Bruce Tah estimates the new plan will cost at least $1.5 million, yet a source of funding to protect those homes remains unclear. Please don't use the funds from the Massachusetts state coffers, Mr. Bruce Tah. I beg of you. Because, you know, rich dummies losing their beachfront homes. I'll get the popcorn, guys. I'll get the popcorn. This is going to be fun to watch. Yay! A dead man's roommates drove his body to the bank to withdraw money. This is like Weekend at Bernie's Part 4. Banking with Bernie. You guys familiar with Weekend at Bernie's? The 80s movie where they had the dead guy propped up and they brought him all around pretending he was alive. I forget what they did with him. I remember a boat was involved. We have two roommates of a recently deceased man, each charged with abusing a corpse after propping up his body to withdraw money from his own bank. What a brilliant plan. Imagine believing that this would work. Hey, so he's dead, and I think he's got some money in a bank account. Hey, no problem, all right? I saw this documentary from the 80s called Weekend at Bernie's, and they didn't do it very intelligently. I think we could do a twist on it. I got a better idea on how to pull this off. Yeah, the sunglasses, though. We'll keep the sunglasses. That seemed to be a good idea. Here are the roommates that brought this guy's corpse to the bank. Lorene Farallo, age 55. Karen Kasbaum, age 63. Wow, these roommates are up there in age. What does that say about the culture, guys? I mean, how bad is it when you have three people of this age that are roommates? There truly is a housing issue in the United States, I have to say. So the roommates discovered the dead man's body. They're not naming him. They took his body to a bank where they previously had accompanied him. He's just bringing them to the bank. Hey, I'm going to the bank. Yeah, we'll go with you in case you die. You want to give us some passwords, too, in case you die? Never mind. We don't need that. We'll just bring your body to the bank if you happen to die. I saw it in a movie. With the help of a third unnamed individual, these roommates carried the deceased man's body to the front seat of the deceased man's car. They even used his car. What a kick in the nuts. They drove there so the bank staff could see him. They drove to the familiar bank branch where they withdrew an undisclosed amount. Sounds to me like somebody at the bank needs to lose their gig. You fell for that? So we'd like to take out some money. Not us. He would. He would. That guy right there with his head propped up. You're holding his head up. Is there a reason for that? Nah, I'm just massaging his neck. He's got some pain back there. I just constantly massage his neck. Can we get a response from him? Like, okay. Oh, he's nodding. I guess it's okay then. He's nodding. I'll give you the money. It says here, the roommates previously withdrew money from the man's account with him present and approving. They say the suspects used the bank's drive-through teller window, the one they usually used. They were even familiar with the teller, apparently. Okay, so this has been an ongoing trip to the bank they've made. I wonder if they saw this coming. I've been diagnosed with cancer. I just want to let you guys know, as we're roommates, so that don't be alarmed if I drop dead here. Oh, no, we won't be alarmed. We know exactly what to do when you drop dead. Hey, by the way, let's start going to the bank every week with you. We want to establish a connection with your local branch. No reason, says here, the alleged caper unraveled. I like that they use the word caper, like this is a 1930s gangster movie. Yeah, I'm saying the alleged caper unraveled when the duo dropped the body off at the county medical center after the withdrawal and left quickly without giving hospital staff information about the dead man. They just dropped him off at a medical center. Didn't give a name. We just put him on the bench outside. Freaking morons, man. One of the two later called the facility with some of the man's story, and the body was identified as Douglas Lehman, age 80. So they are giving the man's name. Officers went to Lehman's home, where the roommates told them about the bank trip. The suspects have appeared in court, though it was not clear if they entered pleas or were assigned lawyers. Yeah, that's not very helpful information. We want to know, how much did they take out? How much was this trip to prison actually worth? It was probably like $85, because that's how dumb these people are. It says their bond was set at $5,000. Well, I hope they know more dead people. Hey, my friends. How you guys doing over there, wherever you are? Listening to the Weird AF News podcast on your devices? Oh, thank you for listening to the Weird AF News on your devices. I appreciate it. Maybe one time, sometime in the future, I'll be able to transmit the Weird AF News podcast telepathically to you. And you wouldn't even have to charge a device to listen to it. That would be amazing. You don't even need batteries or headphones to listen to it. I want to give thanks and praise on the podcast. First of all, Kristen Miller became a member of the Patreon. So we want to give a shout out to Kristen Miller, became a Patreon member. Kristen Miller became a Patreon member. Ooh, give it up for Kristen Miller, Patreon member. Kristen Miller is showing some major gratitude and support for the Weird AF News podcast by becoming a member of the Patreon. That's the way to do it, Kristen Miller. Good for you. Now, Kristen Miller gets access to additional Weird AF News content that Jonesy puts inside the Patreon every week. So really, really cool. Thank you, Kristen, by the way. I'll send you a private message via the Patreon thanking you as well. So look for that. But I hope you get this shout out because you deserve it. If you guys want to join the Patreon like Kristen Miller, become a Patreon member, you can go to weirdafnews.com. There's a little Patreon icon, or a banner. I think it's called a banner, and it's right there on the homepage. Or you can just go to patreon.com/weirdafnews or download Patreon, Patreon, on your smartphone and do a search for Weird AF News. You can do it that way as well. There are so many ways to join the Patreon. There's so many ways to support Weird AF News, such as buying Jonesy a coffee, which you can also do off the website, weirdafnews.com. And someone did buy me a coffee. It's Michelle. Michelle bought me a coffee and wrote, congratulations on 4 million downloads, Jonesy. I love the show. I've been listening since the beginning. Good luck with your life, man. Isn't that sweet? That's so sweet. Yeah, Michelle's been an OG fan of Weird AF News from the very beginning, and I'm so appreciative. I'm appreciative of Michelle, and I'm appreciative of this coffee. Yeah, so we're hitting 4 million downloads, and I couldn't be more proud. It's pretty cool. I never thought I'd do anything for 4 million anything, so we made it. Thanks to you guys. I sent out a thank you email about that. I hope you got it. If you haven't got the email, that's probably because you're not on the Weird AF News email list. And if you would like to be, it's very easy. Just email me, funnyjones@gmail.com, and I'll put you on there. Just one last thing I wanted to mention. Connie from Cedarton, Georgia, brought it to my attention that today is a special day. It's National Potato Chip Day. Yes, March 14th is National Potato Chip Days. Connie likes to remind me of these weird days, and I really like it a lot. There's so many, and I particularly like this one because I enjoy potato chips. So I looked it up here. national, there's a nationaltoday.com website that has all these days. It's like a day every day, this celebrating something. America's number one snack food, potato chips, is recognized on March 14th annually. Potato chips are thin slices of potato, either deep fried or baked until crunchy. Potato chips are a predominant part of the snack food market in English-speaking countries, especially in America. On National Potato Chip Day, this snack will be enjoyed by millions of people across the country. So why not make sure you participate in the potato chip snacking fun today, March 14th, National Potato Chip Day. That was me reading right from the website. They wanted you to, they included what a potato chip is. They defined it in case you live under a rock or something. And potato chips are available everywhere, not just English speaking countries. By the way, you can find them in Asia. I've eaten them in Asia. I'd imagine they're all over Europe. I mean, so this is a strange description. Potato chips are worldwide known, I'd imagine. I like French fries, Cheetos, this sort of thing, I'd imagine. Anyways, have some potato chips. Not too many, though, because, you know, you want to look out for your sodium intake. Bags of potato chips are loaded with sodium. What's your favorite flavor of potato chip, by the way? Mine is salt and vinegar. I know it's very simple, but I just love salt and vinegar potato chips. I would say number two would be barbecue. So I'd love to know your favorite potato chip. Call the show 646-450-2012 or email me a photo of you eating your favorite potato chip. FunnyJones@gmail.com. I would love to see your potato chip eaten mug. Yeah. Also, what else? Oh, yeah, today's Thursday, so tomorrow's Friday. So if you guys want to participate in Florida Friday, send me any weird Florida news from this week that you come across. The email's funnyjones@gmail.com, or you can put the link in my Instagram at funnyjones as well, because on Friday we only do weird news from Florida if you're new to the show, so just buckle up for that. And if you are new to the show, please consider subscribing to the show. Yay, subscribe to Weird AF News. Why wouldn't you subscribe? It's super easy. You can listen to it 5 days a week. Listen to it right after you listen to the horrible, depressing mainstream news. You know, maybe you'll get a little dose of happiness or a chuckle or two if you listen to Weird AF News after the mainstream news. It might even keep you from killing yourself after listening to the mainstream news, which is what a lot of people feel like doing. Mm.